Oficio. Revista de Historia e Interdisciplina.
Issue 22. January-June 2026. Article. Silver and Gold in the Early Commercial System of the Gulf of California. 1735-1767. Author. Marie-Christine Duggan. From Keene State College of the University System of New Hampshire. Abstract.
Baja California was remote from mainland New Spain, yet the Quasi Island lay on the route connecting Asia to the Americas. In 1732, Jesuits responded to donor pressure by opening Mission San Jose del Cabo at the Bay of San Bernab, long used occasionally by ships returning from Asia. This opened a Pandora's box, as men with ties to mercantile networks in Lamos, Compostela, and Guadalajara competed to control the new institution. The group with ties to Guadalajara dominated, founding in 1748 a mining settlement in southern Baja California, and gaining in 1753 ships to ply the Gulf. The literature views Bourbon reform in 1768 as bringing trade to the Gulf of California, but commerce by regional merchants had already by 1748 transformed the southern part of Baja California. The research below explores the hypothesis that rival business networks in northern Pacific New Spain sought between 1735 and 1767 to wrest control from the Jesuits of institutions in the southern portion of Baja California. The opening in 1734 of a regular informal stop for the Manila Galleon near Cabo San Lucas was the proximate cause of the network's interest. The galleon anchorage at the Bay of San Bernab offered potential opportunity for merchants on the mainland to purchase goods from and sell to Manila merchants. On the opposite side of the Gulf of California, there were many small and medium-sized mines of that exportable commodity, silver. The immediate obstacle to mercantile operations at the incipient port was exclusive Jesuit control of native land and labor in Baja California through the missions. The sparse military serving California Jesuits offered the primary means for commercial actors to infiltrate institutions on the peninsula. As merchants consolidated 1735 to 1767 their hold on the region between Cabo San Lucas and La Paz, Jesuit missionaries lost autonomy well before King Carlos III expelled them in 1767 from the Spanish Empire. Existing literature analyzes Baja California in isolation from the mainland and presents the peninsula as barren of opportunity, so that only missionaries motivated by evangelical piety would live there. Farming was indeed a challenge on the rocky and arid peninsula, yet remoteness is an advantage for tax, evading trade. Researchers of Pacific contraband in the Spanish Empire acknowledge that if carried out successfully, the trade left little trace in the record. Yet profit from contraband trade is too powerful a motive to omit from analysis simply because quantitative records are not available. Mexican economic and commercial historians have developed a methodology to study business in the shadows by identifying networks based on family ties and ethnicity that link locations from which members traded with each other. The research below considers three networks with representatives on both sides of the Gulf of California vying to control the strategic Bay of San Bernab at Mission San Jose del Cabo and the Bay of La Paz near the mouth of the Gulf of California. To ground the speculative discussion of motive and opportunity, quantitative data collected by Bernd Hausberger on legal silver produced at locations around the Gulf of California in the 1760s gives a sense of each location as a source of silver. The literature holds that Bourbon reform in 1768 opened the region to trade. In contrast, the research below suggests that private for-profit actors came between 1735 and 1767 to dominate southern Baja California, with ports on or close to the China trade route. The analysis is organized as follows. Part 1 provides the silver mining context around the Gulf of California. Part 2 traces the origin of mercantile influence on the Jesuits through the Pious Fund for the Californias. Part 3 uses the archives and Jesuit primary sources to indicate that Asian goods were already by 1707 a source of supply for Jesuit California. Part 4 traces by name the protagonists who vied for control of Baja California's strategic ports at Mission San Jose del Cabo and La Paz. Part 5 considers whether silver mines in Baja California, rather than a port for trade with Asia, might have been the attraction of the region for profit, motivated actors. Part 5 posits the lands surrounding the Gulf of California as a commercial region which emerged between 1735 and 1767.
Silver context.
In the first half of the 18th century, Asia offered higher prices than Europe for silver, which increased the attraction of trade in the Pacific. Typically, merchants obtained mercury from the state for refining silver, which gave the state the means to ensure that silver was taxed. It is worth mentioning that the Manila galleon typically carried small quantities of mercury from Fujian, China, and the combination of using Chinese mercury while selling silver bars to a ship heading for Asia would mean that the Manila galleon offered merchants the opportunity for tax evasion on some silver from regional mines. A contemporary observer affirmed that merchants of Pacific New Spain traded silver to the galleon before it reached Acapulco. Tom S. Ortiz de Lanzi was a credible commentator on contraband in northern Pacific New Spain because from 1743 to 1747, he served in Guadalajara as secretary to New Galicia's governor and married into Guadalajara's elite. In fact, Lanzi was born to a mercantile family of Panama known as a bridge for British contraband in the Pacific. During his tenure in Guadalajara, in 1746, the Manila galleon itself unloaded in Matanchal on New Galicia's Pacific coast, rather than the typical destination of Acapulco far to the south. In January 1747, Lanzi stood in Matanchal with Governor Firm Ender Echeverts when the Dutch crossed the Pacific from Indonesia, seeking permission to trade their wares in Mexico City. For location, see Image 1. Echeverts was like Lanzi governor of Navarrese ethnicity and born in Panama. The two men denied the permit, though how much cargo the Dutch had already unloaded in irregular ways remains a mystery. By 1767 Lanzi had been promoted to serve in Madrid on the Council of the Indies. Councillor Lanzi wrote to Carlos III the following words, "In order to prevent the unloading of goods in the ports and anchorages of the Pacific, located prior to Acapulco, the Viceroy has given the order that 5 stamped copies be directed, etc." Lanzi's July 2, 1767 assertion that the Manila galleon's goods of India and China were unloaded at ports and anchorages prior to Acapulco on the Pacific coast of New Spain catches the eye. In truth, he continued, the entire risk of clandestine extraction of gold and silver in coin or ingots takes place in these ports and anchorages, or on the coast, especially in the northern one. Figure 1 presents a 1746 map showing the coast north of Acapulco. The Bay of San Bernab near Mission San Jose del Cabo is marked Bay of San Joseph. 5 kilometers north of the Bay of San Bernab lies the Bay of La Paz, also on the California Peninsula's interior. The Islas Tres Mar as lie between the California Peninsula and the mainland. On the mainland roughly opposite the Bay of San Bernab is the informal port of Matanchal, with a second anchorage at Chicala some 70 kilometers south. Though he does not mention specific ports by name, Lanzetta confirms that gold and silver did slip out in an untaxed manner from ports prior to Acapulco in New Spain's Pacific. It is a maxim in the study of New Spain that those who profited from mines were not miners themselves, but rather suppliers to mines, known as aviadores. The leading men of Guadalajara were such aviadores of mines in New Galicia, and the southern half of Sinaloa was until 1733 part of the same province. Merchants of Lamos tended to finance mines to the north in Ostemuri, shaded region in Map 1, and some in Lamos had ties to Guadalajara as well. Mining required mercury, salt, gun, powder, iron, candles, horses and mules, and wage goods such as tobacco, mezcal, corn and wheat, meat, and clothing. Hacendados in New Galicia raised sugar and mezcal on their own haciendas. From Mexico City, they sourced mercury delivered from Spain's Almaden mine. Guadalajara's men had ties to the Pacific, as shown in the birthplace of Lanzetta and Echeverts of Panama. There were rumors they sourced supplemental mercury from mines of Huancavelica, Peru, illicitly as well as from Manila. Opposite the southern tip of Baja California lay New Galicia, with the primary informal port being Matanchal. New Galicia included enormous mines in its interior such as Zacatecas, but small to medium mines near the Pacific coast are more likely to have had motive and opportunity to evade taxes on a small scale, and these are listed in Table 1. While no data on silver mining output is yet published for the 1735-1760 period, for the period 1761-1767 Hausberger used records of taxes paid on silver to estimate output of silver and gold. The table excludes Bola Os, which lay in front of Kaimaltitl N, see Map 1, on the grounds that its production of $650,000 per year in silver would have inspired careful oversight by the state. Table 1 illustrates that the top five largest of the middling mines close to the Gulf of California were Guachinango, Etzetal N, Tenamachi, San Pedro Analco, and Ostotipaquillo. This last produced roughly $24,000 per year, while Guachinango produced about $100,000 per year. Over 7 years, the state collected taxes on $2.7 million in silver produced at such middling New Galician mines, or about $400,000 per year. See Table 1. Table 2 illustrates that Sinaloa mines, running from Rosario to Lamos, produced another $363,000 of silver per year, of which one third, $122,889, came from Pinuco, which lies 79 km inland from Mazatlan, continuing north. Lamos on the border between Sonora and Sinaloa produced about $142,000 per year in silver, while mines in Sonora produced annually about $70,000 in silver per year. For Lamos, 72% of the silver taxed was refined by means of mercury, while in the mines listed as Sonora used no mercury for refining silver, indicating that they used methods other than the patio process. Sonora may refer to the regions north of Ostemuri, such as the Pima Baja and the Pima Alta. In the 1760s, mines in Sonora produced mostly gold, rather than silver. If we limit this discussion to silver, the mines of Table 1 and Table 2, as well as Lamos and the generic Sonora, scattered around the Gulf of California paid taxes on close to $1 million per year of silver, or about 10% of the total produced in New Spain each year. Baja California itself included mines, but data for 1761-67 indicates that Baja California produced only $1,400 per year. In contrast, Lamos produced 100 times more. One of the mines in Baja California was El Realito de Oro, and yet the tax records make no mention of gold. This confirms that something is missing from the record for southern Baja California, but not the extent of discrepancy. In 1753, one Baja California miner argued that his mines were substantial enough to merit the status of villa. Unrefined, he produced 1,137 marks of silver from three mines near El Triunfo. Once the silver was refined, there were only 2,074.5 ounces. Given 8 ounces in a mark, the refined ore weighed only 259 marks, which would retail for $2,201.50, which is only one-third more than the $1,400 of Hausberger's estimates from taxes paid. The takeaway is that even when incentive to exaggerate existed, silver output of southern Baja California was small. This supports the argument here that battles to control southern Baja California revolved around other commercial opportunities, such as potential trade of New Galicia's mines with the Manila Galleon.
The Jesuits and the Pious Fund for the Californias.
Since 1696, merchants had hidden influence on Jesuit evangelism in Baja California through donations to the Pious Fund for the Californias. Each $10,000 donation would be invested with a merchant who would pay interest of $500 per year, enough to sustain a missionary and his congregation. In 1697, Juan Mara Salvatierra founded the first permanent mission in the Californias at Loreto opposite Lamos in Sonora. The Portuguese Esteban Rodriguez Lorenzo accompanied Father Salvatierra, and Rodriguez would captain the Presidio at Loreto from 1701 until his death in 1746. Between 1696 and 1701, the top donation of $20,000 came from Juan Caballero y Ocio of Querétaro, while a second important donor was Alonso de Valos y Bracamonte, Conde de Miravale. Though the Conde de Miravale donated to the fund only $1,000, he gave early and provided substantial material aid directly from his family seat in Compostela, Nayarit. For example, ships for the Jesuit missions were built at Chicala, the Conde de Miravale's port, and he put his loyalists into Presidio Loreto. In 1702, there was a shortfall in financing, putting the Jesuit settlement of the Californias at risk. Father Juan de Ugarte stepped in to manage the fund, and from that year until 1741, the Marques de Villapunt, Jose de la Punt y Pea, and his sister Gertrudis were the major donors. Little is known of the source of Villapuente's wealth, beyond his silver shop in Mexico City. He donated to Jesuits in Japan, China, the Philippines and the East Indies, which suggests an interest in the China trade, whose mirror image is silver exports from New Spain. From 1718, the Marques pressured the Jesuits to open missions directly on the route of the Manila Galleon. In 1710, the War of the Spanish Succession brought Bourbon Philip V to power, and his ministers restricted Pacific trade such that 1718 to 1734 Chinese silks were banned from the galleon's cargo. The donor's pressure for missions on the galleon route raises the possibility that he sought to evade the ban. Whatever his motive, between 1720 and 1733, the Marques de Villapunt would donate $40 to establish four missions in the southern part of Baja California, Mission Dolores halfway between Loreto and La Paz, the short-lived Mission Pilar at La Paz, Mission Santiago at Barra de las Palmas, and Mission San Jose del Cabo, see Map 2. In 1733, his sister Mara Rosa de la Pia donated the $10,000 necessary to establish Mission Santa Rosa at Todos Santos, on the Pacific side of the southern peninsula. Many have argued that the Jesuits had total control over Baja California, with the implication being that the king had none. It is true that there was little royal oversight of missionaries in Baja California, nonetheless donors held sway over Jesuit activities. Donations to the Jesuits gave merchants allies to promote ends that the King of Spain would not prioritize.
Asian goods by way of Acapulco.
Even before the 1730 opening of Mission San Jose del Cabo, Asian goods arrived in Baja California by water from Acapulco. Between 1707 and 1718, two Portuguese named Jorge and Francisco Rodriguez delivered goods from Acapulco to the Jesuits. In 1720, Father Jaime Bravo sailed from Acapulco to the Bay of La Paz on the ship which Jesuit superior Juan de Ugarte built in California, El Triunfo de la Cruz. The crew included Filipinos and Chinese mariners, probably recruited from the galleon in Acapulco. Bravo carried gifts for the Peric of the Islands, financed by the Marquess de Villapunt. The Peric inhabited the Bay of San Bernab, and their seagoing craft enabled them to occupy the islands between the Bay of La Paz and Cabo San Lucas. In 1714, the Manila galleon's men anchored at the Bay of San Bernab and came on shore among the Peric to rest and refit, a resting place where the English pirate Lord Clipperton attacked them. The international incidents of 1714 may explain why in 1730 there were both blonde-haired and mulatto people at a Peric village called Yenica, near San Jose del Cabo. In 1730, Jesuit Nicol S. Tamrill founded Mission San Jose del Cabo on the Gulf, side of southern Baja California, where a stream emptied into the galleon's anchorage at the Bay of San Bernab, reminding us of the centuries of cultural interaction through pearl, diving, galleon stops, and piracy at this location. The Peric were independent people of the sea, and resisted Jesuit sedentary living by means of agriculture. Even so, by December of 1730, Tamrill had baptized over 800 and in 1731 the congregation harvested grains at three rancho locations, San Jose, La Soledad and Santa Rosa, and were also raising hundreds of sheep and cattle. In early 1734, the Manila galleon N.S. del Pilar de Zaragoza made anchor in the Bay of San Bernab to obtain relief at the new mission for those on board suffering from scurvy and beriberi. They recovered at Mission San Jose with the aid of fresh water, fresh food, and the Guaycura congregation's harvest of pitahaya, dragon fruit, which counteracted the deficiencies suffered on the four-month journey. There were typically hundreds of people on board a galleon. By October 1734, the Peric rebelled. They killed Jesuits Nicol S. Tamrill at San Jose, Lorenzo Carranco at Santiago, and the Compostela soldier Manuel Anda S. Romero in charge at La Paz. Captain Rodriguez came from Loreto to put eight rebels to death. In January 1735, the next galleon arrived unaware of uprising and sent 13 men to seek aid at Mission San Jose del Cabo. Armed men numbering 600 under Peric Ger Nimmo killed the 13, and then the water, adept Peric swarmed the galleon. This remarkable episode came to an end when the galleon's crew realized that these were not Christians from Mission San Jose.
Rivals for control of ports in southern Baja California.
The 1734 Peric Rebellion compelled the Jesuits to invite civil actors to the remote peninsula to put down revolt, a break with the independence that had characterized the first 37 years of California's religious settlement. The Jesuit call for military aid offered to those with profit in mind an opportunity to gain a toehold in southern Baja California, as discussed below.
Compostal Affection and La Paz.
The first group to heed the call were 32 men of Compostela in New Galicia. Recall that men of Compostela loyal to the Conde de Maravalle had from 1697, 1701 dominated Presidio Loreto. In 1720, Father Jaime Bravo founded Mission Nuestra Señora del Pilar in La Paz, among the Guaycura on the mainland, an ethnic group distinct from the Peric on the islands in the bay. Bravo's efforts to have settled at one mission the five subgroups of the Guaycura, Cantal, Aripe, Calage, Uchit, and Cora, undermined the careful distribution of the bay's marine resources, and the mission failed to thrive. See Map 2. Father Jaime supplemented the resources at La Paz with harvests from Mission Todos Santos, which was in a fertile oasis on the Pacific side of the peninsula opposite La Paz. In 1721, the Peric from the islands killed Guaycura converts at La Paz while the missionary was away at Todos Santos, and when Commander Rodriguez of Loreto went after them, they nearly killed him, too, with a deep arrow wound. By 1733, Guaycura converts of La Paz relocated to Todos Santos, leaving at the Bay of La Paz one soldier from Compostela on New Galicia's coast, Manuel Ander S. Romero. In 1734, when the Peric of the southern tip and the islands in the bay rebelled, they killed Romero. In response, the group of men from Compostela arrived immediately thereafter. Certainly they came for vengeance for their slain comrade, but they probably also hoped to solidify Compostela's control of the Bay of La Paz.
Sonora Faction.
If so, Viceroy Juan Antonio Vizar y Eguiareta trumped these locals when in 1736 he sent Manuel de Huidobro, governor of Sonora y Sinaloa, to put down the uprising in Baja California. Archbishop of Mexico City Juan Antonio Vizar y Eguiareta served as Viceroy 1734-1740. Vizar y was Navarrese, like the contemporary governor of New Galicia Echeverts and his advisor Lanzui. Viceroy Vizar y's predecessor and protector Juan de Acuña y Bejarano, Marc S. de Casafuerte, had created the province of Sonora y Sinaloa in 1733, installing Huidobro as governor. Actors in Sonora had a long, standing interest in southern Baja California. Between 1697 and 1723, the alcalde mayor of Lamos, Ander S. de Rizabal, hired Peric at the Bar de las Palmas, see Map 2, to dive for pearls along the southern coast of Baja California. In the year 1713, the Peric captured a New Galician pearling vessel and kept its captain among them for a year before he was rescued by Rezabal's crew. The story suggests that the Peric had a closer relationship to Rizabal in Sonora than to inhabitants of New Galicia, though the latter was opposite southern Baja California. In 1720, silver deposits were identified slightly to the north of the Peric Cove near Santiago in the land of the Uchit subgroup of the Guaycura, see Map 1. In 1722, Father Ignacio Mar Apicolo founded Mission Santiago de los Apistoles inland among the Cora subgroup of the Guaycura. Ander S. de Rizabal of Lamos lent his pearlers canoes to the Santiago startup operation, illustrating how closely this mission was tied to a commercial actor at its roots. The attempt to establish agriculture failed, and disease spread. In 1723, a storm knocked the beams of a partially constructed church onto the Cora inside, and the rage of the people against Jesuit Piccolo caused him to leave for months. When Piccolo returned, he relocated Mission Santiago further south near the Bar de las Palmas among a different people, the Peric. These men were the divers for Rezabal's pearling operation, based at the same Bar de las Palmas. Piccolo may have felt safer with Rezabal's allies nearby, but the ability of the Peric to obtain the goods Spaniards offered by diving for pearls, without giving up their ties to the sea, meant that the agricultural labor of mission life would always be a hard sell. While the 1722 founding of Mission Santiago in Peric territory tended to shift control of the Peric's labor away from Rezabal's control and into Jesuit hands, Manuel de Huidobro reasserted Sonora's control of the region in 1736. Huidobro did not at first crush the rebels, but rather attempted to establish an alliance with them. Huidobro had replaced Rezabal as the strong man of Lamos, and perhaps he hoped to employ the Peric divers to seek pearls, as Rezabal had done. The opportunity to trade with foreign or Spanish ships by means of Peric vessels at the Bay of San Bernab could not have escaped him. Only when Huidobro's efforts to negotiate with the Peric failed, did he crush them in 1737. Huidobro returned to Sonora, where he set off rebellion in 1740 by undermining the Jesuit social contract with the Yaqui so that he could promote silver mining by his allies. In both Sonora and Baja California, Huidobro antagonized Jesuits and promoted for-profit activity. Huidobro left in Baja California a new institution, Presidio San Jose, next to Mission San Jose at the Bay of San Bernab. The first commander Huidobro appointed to the new southern presidio was Bernardo Rodriguez de Laria. Bernardo's father Esteban Rodriguez was the long-time commander of Presidio Loreto, so the appointment of his son Bernardo implied deference to Presidio San Jose's commander. Esteban Rodriguez had not always been at peace with working with the Jesuits. In 1704, Rodriguez quit command of Loreto, heading for Sonora on the opposite side of the Gulf. In 1705, he met their Mara de Laria Jimenez, whom he married in 1707. The Jesuits reached out to persuade Rodriguez to return to command. The historian Harry Crosby surmised that Rodriguez departed Loreto in 1704 due to lack of opportunity to either move up in the ranks or to engage in mercantile activity, and perhaps negotiations for his return to the peninsula included some concessions on the latter point. After marriage in 1707, Esteban and Mara lived in Loreto, where Rodriguez served as commander until his death in 1746. Her surname raises the possibility that she was kin to Basque Juan Bautista de Laria, who governed Sonora from 1698-1703, or to his uncle the silver merchant Domingo de Laria, who in the 1680s was likely active at Lamos, and was in 1696 a donor to the Jesuit Pious Fund. It is possible that Esteban Roda Guez's marriage to Mara de Laria transformed him into a trusted member of a Basque mercantile network. Between 1707 and 1718, two Portuguese with the Rodriguez surname supplied from Acapulco both Loreto and the Sonoran coast. Returning to 1736, by appointing Esteban's son Bernardo Rodriguez commander of the Presidio at San Jose del Cabo, with control over the Bay of San Bernab, Huidobro may have tied the leading contrabandistas of the California Peninsula to his own commercial schemes. Yet once the southern Presidio was a fait accompli, Huidobro changed the commander of Presidio San Jose to Pedro Antonio Ivarez de Acevedo. Huidobro and Ivarez were confirmed anti Jesuits and in Sonora's scheme to get Yaqui out of Jesuit jurisdiction and into labor at silver mines. The clash between pro-commercial actors and missionaries originated in the communal nature of the political economy that Jesuits installed among the Seri, Udom and Yaqui of Sonora, and among the Cochim, Guaycura and Peric in the California Peninsula. Following Spain's 1680 Law of the Indies, the lands of those baptized could not be taken from them. The Jesuit, managed communities would sell agricultural goods and labor for a price, but put limits on just how much native labor to miners private actors could utilize, which was a particularly strong issue in Sonora due to its silver deposits. For example, in Sonora, the Jesuit Diego Gonzalez instructed his Yaqui congregation to ignore an order from miner Ivarez de Acevedo that the Yaqui village of Potom supply 20 men per week to work his mines at Real de San Antonio de Padua and Tehuacho. Jesuit restrictions on for-profit exploitation put them on a collision course with Sonora y Sinaloa's elite and with the viceroy. Indeed, this anti-Jesuit and pro-commercial mentality is something Huidobro and Ivarez shared with Viceroy Vizar N., who was himself in a dispute with the Jesuits to end their tax-exempt status. By founding the Presidio de San Jose at Mission San Jose del Cabo, Huidobro established an institution that could transition the Bay of San Bernab from Jesuit to secular control. Commander Ivarez de Acevedo instigated conflict with the missionaries at Santiago over his use of Rancho El Salto on the land of their congregation. El Salto was the name of a stream flowing into Barra de las Palmas, the location in southeastern Baja California where 15 years earlier, Andrés S. de Rizabal based his pearling operations. The new commander Ivarez likely intended to hire the same Peric community as divers. When the Yaqui in Sonora rebelled en masse in 1740, Huidobro and Ivarez's efforts to limit Jesuit jurisdiction on the mainland lost favor among policymakers in Mexico City. This affected Baja California because in 1740, Presidio de San Jose was demoted to Squadron of the South, and by 1741 Jesuit complaints resulted in Ivarez being demoted to serve under the aging Esteban Rodriguez at Loreto. Huidobro's effort to control strategic Cabo San Lucas from Sonora had failed.
Guadalajara faction triumphant.
An opportunity for mercantile interests in Guadalajara to assert their control over the strategic mouth of the Gulf of California emerged on January 7, 1740, when King Philip V decreed that due to war between Spain and Britain since 1739, the people of Guadalajara should make all suitable efforts to prevent any sudden and violent attack whatsoever which the enemy may try, taking advantage of any means as may offer itself to you to resist, and inflicting an exemplary punishment. In effect, the king invited and authorized New Galicia to defend its coasts. Governor Francisco de Isa y Grachi N., Marques del Castillo de Isa, viewed the king's call to defend New Galicia's Pacific coasts as an opportunity to gain royal favor. Isa had amassed a fortune at Bola Os between 1714 and 1724. This Aragonese returned to Spain in 1727 to purchase the title Marques, and on May 4, 1728 returned to New Galicia accompanied by Francisco S. Sanchez Lairo. Francisco was the father of Gabriel, and both were active in the 1720s in mercantile circles in both Mexico City and Guadalajara, where the S. Sanchez Lairo would by the 1740s have Hacienda Santa Luca just outside Guadalajara on the road to the Gulf of California at Matanchal. From 1735 to 1743, the Marques del Castillo de Isa was governor. Isa mobilized 12,000 people to defend New Galicia's coast, 4,000 Spaniards and 8,000 African and Indian men. The closest the sentinels came to apprehending a British warship was a sighting on July 15, 1741 of a ship with sails heading for the Tres Marias Islands, between Cabo San Lucas and Matanchal, see Image 1. On June 8, 1743, King Philip expressed shock at the amount of money spent to guard the coast. By then, the Navarrese Echeverts had succeeded Isa as governor of New Galicia, and in 1744 he replied to King Philip V that the crown spent nothing. Instead, the funds had been donated by various individuals of this jurisdiction for the pressing needs of the situation. At mid-18th century, a presidio of 50 men cost $20,000 for a year, which suggests that the 4,000 Spaniards alone would have cost over $1 million per year. Even assuming the 8,000 African and Indian watchmen received only a quarter of that amount for food, the entire operation may have cost over $2 million per year and apparently endured for 2 years, May 1740 to mid-1742. These estimates may be too large, but they do explain the king's shock at the magnitude of New Galicia's response. The Guadalajara elite had put the king in their debt, and they would ask for non-financial recompense. In 1736, slabs of native silver weighing over a ton had been discovered on the surface at Planchas de Plata on the Sonora side of the Colorado River, and 8 years later, in 1743, Guadalajara's elite proposed to the king that he provide 2 ships to protect vessels and traders between Matanchal and the Colorado River. The ships plying the Gulf of California would protect the region from European rivals, but also protect commercial actors from Indian rebels on islands and coast. Isa's proposal mentioned the benefits to Sonora of goods from New Galicia's ranches, but mariners had testified to Isa in 1742 that they sailed not only between Matanchal and Sonora, but also between Acapulco and Matanchal. The subtext of Guadalajara's elite was probably to supply both New Galician goods, such as mezcal and sugar, but also Asian goods, for example cottons and iron, to the mining regions. Isa presented the lands on both sides of the Gulf of California as one region, with Matanchal as its port and Guadalajara as its commercial nerve center. The region of the Isa proposal is roughly that of Map 1. Conventional wisdom is that the Isa proposal for maritime commerce in the Gulf of California had no effect until 1768, when Jose de G. Elvez used it as a blueprint for the Naval Department of San Blas. Yet the Isa proposal did have an impact in the 1740s. On November 13, 1744, the king decreed a settler town be established in Baja California, which gave legitimacy to commercial actors to break the Jesuit monopoly of a region that acted as a bridge between New Galicia and trade with Asia. In 1741, command of the Squadron of the South changed. At first it seemed the Sonora faction had regained control. Command returned to Rodriguez's family influence through his son, in law Lieutenant Pedro Riva Salazar. Riva Salazar was born around 1700, probably in Sonora, to Juan de la Riva Salazar, himself born in 17th century El Parral, the mining center, whose heyday was passing to Lamos by 1683. Presidio and Mission Loreto are located opposite Lamos. Juan de la Riva Salazar in 1721 provided supplies to Jesuit Juan de Ugarte, when he sailed El Triunfo de la Cruz from Loreto to the Colorado River. This provisioning suggests that Riva Salazar had ranches that permitted him to supply miners in Sonora, such that return payments in raw silver or gold concentrated in his hands. His son Pedro was married by 1732 to the daughter of Captain Estate Ben Rodriguez of Loreto, and by 1733 Don Pedro served at Presidio Loreto. If the merchant Juan de la Riva wanted to control maritime trade in the Gulf of California, putting his son in charge of the Jesuit ship with a family tie to Esteban Rodriguez would have been opportune. Indeed, in 1739, Captain Rodriguez assigned to Pedro de la Riva the task of bringing food by sea from Guaymas in Sonora to Loreto in Baja California. This hints that Esteban Rodriguez and Pedro de la Riva were already business partners when in 1741 the Loreto commander made his son, in law head of the Squadron of the South, in charge of Baja California's anchorages opposite New Galicia and along the China trade route. In 1741, men of Loreto and Lamos controlled strategic southern Baja California. Soon Riva's own allegiances shifted from Sonora to Guadalajara. In 1743, Riva was a widower and traveled to the mainland. Their Ma Isabel Carrera del Vale el Pez Portillo of Tepic married him. Her marriage to Riva shifted power over Baja California towards New Galicia. Francisco L. Pez Portillo Cambras, Oida in the Audiencia of Guadalajara from 1747 to 1764, presented the couple with a painting of the Virgin of the Apocalypse by Miguel Cabrera as a wedding gift. Thus armed with an alliance with Guadalajara and Tepic's power, brokers, Pedro de la Riva returned to the California Peninsula in 1747 to carry out brutal military operations precisely where a soldier had in 1720 identified silver deposits. Lieutenant Riva captured 20 Uchit children, shipped them to Loreto, and had them distributed to missions as orphans. He then ordered his men to shoot 15 Uchit prisoners, presumably the children's parents. Riva then expropriated Rancho Santa Rosa along the stream to Mission San Jose del Cabo as his own. In 1748, the Jesuits relocated the La Paz congregation to Todos Santos, in effect leaving that bay as a private port opposite New Galicia in the hands of Pedro de la Riva. Since the Peric had killed the friars at Santiago and San Jose del Cabo in 1734, those missions must have depended on Riva's men for protection. Riva was widower again by 1747 and relocated to Carmeltitl N, a mining village in New Galicia just behind Bola Os. The fact that he was back on the rolls of Presidio Loreto by 1751 raises the intriguing possibility that he brought silver from Carmeltitl N to the Baja California Peninsula as part of a trading scheme, but this is only an unproven suspicion. Riva lost out that year on the possibility of promotion to the contested position of captain of Presidio Loreto, a setback for his Tepic Guadalajara faction. He then took a third wife, Mara Teresa de Lee Nyma, of the silver mine Santa Bárbara de las Mujeres in New Galicia. In the 1730 decade, the financier of the Santa Bárbara mine was Eugenio Francisco de Castro, who in 1740, as Guadalajara Oida, had developed with ISA the proposal to open trade between Acapulco and the Colorado River. The support of the Aviada of the Santa Bárbara de las Mujeres mine for ISA's plan, coupled with Riva's marriage into Santa Bárbara's elite a few years later, raises the possibility that those who controlled small mines in New Galicia put untaxed silver into maritime trade by way of ships used to supply Jesuit operations, which the military, and not the Jesuits, effectively controlled. By 1753, Riva served as alcalde of Santa Maria del Oro de Tequepexpa, and since this mine belonged to Francisco de Isa 17,201,741, his role reinforces the possibility that Riva carried forth Isa's vision for regional trade. This mine close to the coast appears in Table 1 as producing only 600 pesos of silver, but that estimate is inferred from the taxes paid on silver produced at the mine. The location close to the Pacific, coupled with Riva's connections to Baja California and experience with ships, raises the unproven possibility that the mines produced additional silver, which may have evaded taxes, through maritime transport into the Pacific. With Riva on the mainland, a second zoning law of Esteban Rodriguez, Manuel Osio, established civil settlement in California by opening in 1748 mines near Ceralvo Bay, see Figure 3. Some have wondered if Manuel was related to the largest early donor, Juan Caballero y Osio, but both men's origins are too obscure to settle the issue. Osio served 1,734 in Baja California's records, serving as a soldier to put down the Peric Rebellion. In 1736, Osio married his commander's daughter Rosalía Rodríguez de Laria. Osio then left Baja California to spend the years 1741, 1744 pearl fishing at Isla Tiber and off Sonora's coast. In 1744, Osio stunned Guadalajara's merchants by bringing 11 arrobas of pearls to sell there. Osio clearly had ties to Sonora, Guadalajara, and Loreto by 1744. Between 1745 and 1750, Osio partnered with Guadalajara merchant Juan S. Chesla Iro to collect the tithe on pearlers in the Gulf. This puts Osio in a commercial partnership with the family that traveled from Spain with the Marqués del Castillo de Isa to Guadalajara. His role collecting taxes on pearlers suggests that Osio was sailing or sending vessels between Matanchal and the Colorado River 1745, 1750, putting into practice with the S. Chesla Eros a piece of the Isa plan. King Philip's 1744 response to Isa's 1743 proposal had called for civil settlement in California, and by 1748, Osio fostered mining by bringing men and supplies to the Bay of Sorralvo from the mainland. He and his men dug mining pits on Cerro de San Pedro. Half the silver harvested in early years was smelted by fire alone, and half was refined by the patio process with mercury. In 1751, Osio opened mines at El Triunfo. The Achiti killed one of Osio's employees, yet nonetheless in 1753, there were 22 families and 200 workers at the settlement, which included a small gold mine, El Realito de Oro. In 1756, Osio opened the silver mine at San Antonio. By 1763, he had enough mercury to refine virtually all his silver. To increase his income, Manuel de Osio partnered with a second Guadalajara merchant Antonio Ignacio de Mina to supply goods to the mining community. Mina was aviator of Etzetal N, one of the top mines in New Galicia, see Table 1. This merchant was likely kin to Manuel de Mina, who served as notary when Isa was governor of New Galicia promoting trade in the Gulf of California, and in 1738 was lieutenant governor to Huidobro in Sonora and Sinaloa during the conflicts between Jesuits and miners. Osio owned at least one vessel, with which he brought goods from Matanchal to the Bay of Sorralvo. His prices were high, which he attributed to the trouble of ferrying goods, while others pointed to the market power Osio held through near monopoly on supply to the Kwasi Island. In 1753, Osio petitioned Viceroy Juan Francisco de Gms y Horcasitas, Conde de Revillagigedor, for the right to a covered ship and several smaller vessels to sail between New Galicia and his mines in Baja California. Recall that Guadalajara's oidor Francisco L. Pez Portillo gave a gift to Pedro de la Riva at his wedding in Tepic, perhaps a sign of interest in controlling the peninsula given Riva's tie to Presidio Loreto. In 1753, when Osio petitioned for vessels, L. Pez Portillo threw his support behind the request. In contrast, Fernando Rivera y Moncada, the Compostela native who prevailed over Riva to become commander of Loreto in 1751, spoke against Osio's petition. Rivera y Moncada undermined Osio's request by testifying that everybody knew Osio intended to use the vessels to bring goods from Acapulco to retail in the Gulf of California, not just to bring supplies from Metanchal for his mines. If we believe Rivera y Moncada, then Osio and Mina were implementing on a smaller scale what Issa in 1743 requested. On October 26, 1753, Revillagigedo granted Osio's request for vessels, admonishing him not to use the ship to sail to Acapulco. By 1753, Osio would not have needed to sail to Acapulco to trade silver for Asian imports, because the galleon was routinely anchoring at Cabo San Lucas. Without accounts, it cannot be proven that the grant of private ships to the merchant permitted Osio to make a fortune on trade in the Gulf of California. Yet it is clear that Osio amassed wealth between 1753 and 1766, because he paid a dowry of $6,000 in 1767 to marry his son Antonio to Manuela de Mina, daughter of Guadalajara Aviador Antonio Ignacio de Mina. By then, Osio had accumulated $60,000. Between 1748 and 1771, Antonio Ignacio de Mina rose to own mines at Ostotipaquillo and even Bola Os, and his son, In Law, would inherit Osio's business interests in southern Baja California near the international anchorage of Bay of San Bernab.
Compostela and Loreto.
Osio's detractor Fernando Rivera y Moncada was born in Compostela, as was the soldier Romero killed by Peric in 1734. Recall that Romero had once been in charge at La Paz, and that many from Compostela came to the southern peninsula in 1735. Rivera's wife was Teresa de Valos, which suggests that he was distant kin to the house of the Condes de Miravale, the Bracamonte y de Valos family, who controlled Compostela and closely collaborated with the Jesuits in the 1690s. In 1743, Compostela's residents collaborated with the Mark S. de Isis project, which suggests they favored commerce between Acapulco, New Galicia, and the Colorado River. Commander Rivera's antagonism to Osio's request for maritime vessels suggests that by 1753, this Compostela faction had lost control of the international anchorage in southern Baja California. Rivera's command of Loreto suggests that Compostela men had gained command of that location opposite Lamos. According to Table 1, merchants of Lamos paid taxes on $142,000 per year of silver, but it is possible that even more silver was produced for informal trade by way of the Gulf of California. The Compostela network is a distinct one that emanating from either Bernal de Huidobro of Sonora or Osio with his Guadalajara connections. Rivera's motive to speak out against Osio's 1753 petition for ships may have been resistance to Osio's takeover of southern Baja California's commercial opportunities at the expense of Compostelans.
A commercial region emerges.
This study began by positing that the attraction of southern Baja California to merchants was its connection to the external world, and yet the research above suggests that strong ties to Compostela, Lamos, and Guadalajara also influenced the region. Pedro de la Riva and Manuel Osio married into the Rodriguez family of Loreto, and then later tied their families to merchants of Guadalajara. Men of Compostela once had a toehold at La Paz, but by the 1750s lost control of the strategic south and consolidated hold on Loreto opposite Lamos. The waters of the Gulf of California, that 900-mile branch of the Pacific, create a commercial region by facilitating trade between New Galicia, Sonora y Sinaloa, and Baja California. This is a different way to view the waterway, which otherwise appears as a road to nowhere. Eric Van Young wrote that a region is a hypothesis that flows of people, goods, and capital within are greater than its connections to the external world. What is remarkable about the land surrounding the Gulf of California is that the region had two competing connections to the external world, a port that ties to Manila, in addition to Guadalajara's connections to wider imperial networks via Mexico City. In 1711, the early Jesuit Eusebio Kino named this independent space New Navarre, and this researcher has begun to think of the three provinces surrounding the Gulf of California as a space of its own. The Bay of San Bernab was first landfall for galleon from Manila. For example, a December 25, 1760, letter from Captain Joseph de Eslava to the Viceroy explains that the galleon La Sant Sima Trinidad anchored at Mission San Jose del Cabo from December 6 to December 11. The ship obtained fresh water, yet image 2 leaves no doubt that loading water could intersect with bustling commerce. Father Ignaz Tersch painted sometime between 1762 and 1767, and Spaniards of means outnumber Peric converts in the image. Two Spaniards arrive on horseback, alongside a Jesuit in black robes, who is perhaps the superior. In the background, an African slave holds a parasol over an elite woman's head. There are two people who appear to be Asian standing next to the well-dressed couple in front looking at the viewer. The implication is that by the early 1760s, merchants from Manila met regional mercantile actors at the Bay of San Bernab, the juncture of the lands around the Gulf with the external world. While this analysis has concentrated on the possibility of exporting silver, another benefit to the region of the Manila galleon was the inexpensive and high-quality items from Asia, which undercut the prices of goods delivered from the mainland. In 1768, the incoming galleon provided everyday cloth such as cotton nankeens from China, elephant print cloth, chambray from Bengal, and thick blue bombuses for troops and native converts from Cabo San Lucas to north of Loreto, while tobacco was intended for the troops in Sinaloa. The use of at least some silver to trade with the galleon in the pre-expulsion days of Baja California's history is confirmed by an unexpected source. An October 17, 1786 letter by then commander of Presidio Loreto Jose Joac N. Derriliga. Carlos III asked Derriliga if he thought the galleon should once again stop at San Jose del Cabo. Arriliga replied that if settlers were given permission to trade with the galleon, they would certainly use untaxed silver to pay for the purchases. He also wrote that in the pre-1767 era, settlers in Baja California had purchased most of their goods from the galleon, and that after 1768, their exclusive reliance upon merchants from the mainland was ruinous. Arriliga paints pre-1767 commerce benefiting private settlers more than the post-1768 Bourbon institutions, which contradicts the literature. Arriliga's 1786 words do not clarify how and to what extent networks on the mainland participated in the trade, but they do confirm that between 1732 and 1767, a trade in silver with the galleon had a significant impact on people of the region. Correcting the omission of the commercial motive from Baja California's history uncovers the human ties between New Galicia and Sonora y Sinaloa that made the peninsula part of a regional economy. Commercially minded actors Pedro de la Riva, Manuel de Osio, as well as the Rodriguez family of Loreto through their marriages and commercial contracts, tied the Baja California ports on the west side of the Gulf of California to the more populous eastern shore. Establishment of the legal civil settlement of Santa Ana in Baja California at the mouth of the Gulf was an important, if brutal, step toward integration of southern Baja California into the network's mainland. Jesuit control had in the South already been undermined well before the 1767 expulsion of the order from the Spanish Empire. In 1768, Visitador Jose de G. Elvez headed directly to southern Baja California in time to tightly watch the incoming galleon in December. Perhaps he was privy to Lanza's 1767 alert to the king that New Spain's northern Pacific coast was the primary location for contraband trade in silver and gold.
To read the article, visit our official website.
Oficio. Revista de Historia Interdisciplina.